From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio,
the home of the White Sox,
this is WMVP WSHE HD2, Chicago.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You are listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Talking about some baseball, the hot stove. We didn't anticipate this. The deadline tomorrow night at midnight has produced lots of signings, lots of players. When they hear the number they want to hear or close to the number they want to hear, they're signing because they don't want to worry about what's on the other side of this and what it's going to be like and how long the lockout is going to happen. So a lot of these star players, including Javi Baez, who signed with Detroit today, signed deals. The Cubs just are getting close on a deal with Clint Frazier.
You weren't surprised by the Javi numbers, were you? I mean, kind of what you thought it'd be?
Yeah. What surprised me was that tweet that was out there yesterday that I told you about where he was looking at something like a six-year, $200 million deal.
Yeah.
Like, we were always in the ballpark of 20 to maybe a little over $20 million per year.
6 years, $200 million is in excess of $30 million a year. Like, that can't
happen. Yeah. And then, so what, 140 for 6 years? I'm okay with that.
$20 million a year.
And if the Cubs were still a good team with different players, I would be open for that. I'm open to signing Correa. You know, he's really good, and he, I think, is going to be good for a while.
Same age as Seager.
Yeah.
So what is that, like 20, what is it, 26, something like that? But I got to be honest, I am a bit surprised to see some of the deals that have been signed with the labor uncertainty right at your doorstep. I didn't think you'd see some of the, and like,
it shows you that the owners aren't doing so poorly.
Listen, the Mets owner is, you know, got billions. So, like, when they signed Scherzer for $130 million over 3 years, and then the Seager deal for 10 years, $325, I wasn't expecting to see were you expecting to see a 10-year, $325 million deal prior
not,
to...
Not for Seager, no.
Yeah.
Well, not I with mean, his injury history.
Not just that, but prior to any agreement on a long-term, you know, labor situation.
Before I get to these phones, I want to deliver you a couple bits of news, too, and then I want to get into the college football. Tim Marchman tweeted this. He's with Business Insider. Someone, the Cubs Zone, tweeted me to alert me of this story. I don't know if you know this, but Business Insider, and there's a paywall on the article. So I don't know if you could do your trick, Abdallah, and get me the actual article.
Ooh, you got a trick.
The trick would be to pay for the subscription.
But how do you do it then with cable TV? Aren't there all these different links that are...
Is there a Reddit version of a paywall?
I don't think the youth are trying to get free articles from Business Insider.
You know what? I would advise them to do so.
Well,
maybe they'd be better off and be more well-rounded.
They've got NFTs that are worth $1 million.
Yeah, that's not making you better off.
It's making you more money.
It may make you smarter.
Another question not for everyone Patson about them. This article. Wait till you hear this. This is so baseball. This is so Major League Baseball. Tim Marchman tweets out about it with the Business Insider article saying MLB used two different baseballs this year without telling clubs or the players. Hugely effed up and a massive labor issue just as baseball is about to go to labor war.
I need to know, what do you mean two different baseballs?
I don't know.
Like, when was one ball used and the next one used?
I don't know.
I need some specifics. Who was that from? Tim what? Marchman?
To Tim Marchman, yes.
I mean, like, what happened? I need specifics. You can't just throw that out there and not give me specifics.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's very baseball where, whether people are using the substance or whether baseball is juicing the balls. I've always been of the belief that don't tell me they don't know the way the baseballs are being wound. They know the years they want the live ball. They know the years they want the dead ball to, when a lot of free agents could be available and sort of stem the numbers. Like, are you kidding me?
At this point, which league, Major League Baseball or the NFL, shoots themselves in their own junk more often?
Baseball.
Really?
Yes.
Because there was a time when...
Because football is still great.
It is, but like they shoot themselves in their junk all the time.
I know. I know. Well, with this,
but they just keep rolling.
The taunting rule is a good example,
right?
Of that.
But they just keep rolling.
What college game was it? Where it was Michigan Ohio State, wasn't it? Michigan Ohio State had a fight on the field, basically, after a play where both teams were going at it, and people's you're going nose to nose, and like benches seemed to be clearing, like not the entire bench, but guys, coaches had to be put on the field. Harbaugh
really?
Was going crazy. And do you know that there was not one flag thrown over the melee?
I didn't see it. I was watching.
But yet the NFL wants to you know, flag guys in the deciding portion of the game for taking two steps over to a sideline after
pew,
a sack.
Pew, pew, pew.
Like, there was a penalty, I think it was on Ohio State, that they flagged. But then when the melee happened over what? The issue, nobody got flagged. No, nobody got flagged for fighting, unsportsmanlike. There was nothing.
Maybe they didn't even want to go through the exercise because they were going to penalize both sides anyway. Instead of throwing a flag on each team, they just kept their flags in their pocket.
And it's an important game, and the game was the thing. Like, get out of the way. Do you know what I mean? Like,
instead
of making it more complicated, get the F out of the way. And then the point about Ryan Day here with, and I want to have a long-form discussion on the Notre Dame issues, but I'm going to clean up these phone lines. With Notre Dame being a good job, is what Abdallah or someone brought up yesterday. How much is Ryan Day being paid?
$4 million.
$4 million?
Something like that.
He's getting paid $4 million per year. How much did Brian Kelly just get from LSU?
10 years, nine years, $95 million.
So double,
right? Something like that.
Double salary wise.
Yeah.
Double what Ryan Day is making. What is USC?
Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, paying Lincoln Riley.
That information's not public because they're a private institution, so it actually hasn't been reported yet.
$100 million for 10 years?
You'd have to assume it's somewhere in that ballpark. Yeah.
Plus a couple houses
and
free use of the jet.
Yeah, I saw someone tweeting that, but like, who's that guy? Like, I would expect that's probably the same. I saw that same tweet, Waddle, that they're going to buy his house in Normal, Oklahoma, and then also buy him a $6 million house in Los Angeles.
To be a college football coach, you're the king.
That's also like the norm,
though. Yeah, universities
Alabama
do that.
For Saban's house.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. The king of the college campus is probably the best job in America. Okay, so let me ask you guys that this is my point of all this. And as Abdallah said, it's extension season. Every coach is now using the leverage of these openings. Even Fitz may get an extension and more money coming off a one-win season because his name is being floated out there for the Notre Dame job and the Bears job and other jobs. Ryan Day is vastly underpaid compared to the other great coaches now. So now could be a crossroads for him. Ohio State's going to come to him and they're going to have to offer him more money. But now will be the time where he can be enticed as a former NFL coach and a guy who does want to coach in the NFL, where he could say, look, I'm vastly underpaid. Come get me, NFL. I'm open to listening to Ohio State. I'm open to listening to NFL offers when I'm vastly. Isn't now the time to pounce on Ryan Day?
To pounce on him? I don't want to hurt him.
You reach out to his people. Hey, sure. Ryan. How do you like your $4.5 million salary right now compared to what Brian Kelly is getting at LSU?
Well,
you're a
better
coach.
He's
going to
get paid.
I know he's going to get paid. I'm not saying he's not, but while the contract is going to be talked about, every avenue should be opened up. The problem with the Bears is, and I would like the Bears to be in on him, is who the hell's hiring him? And they have bigger fish to fry with who's running the football organization.
Yeah, I don't think he's in any he can be patient because he's going to get paid regardless.
I know that, but now's the time.
The Bears are going to get used so much.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
The thing is, the Bears
are going to get used like USC was getting used before they hired Lincoln Riley. Like, everyone's going to be rumored for the Bears job, and everyone's going to get a raise off of it.
Well, that's true, but like, even if the Bears weren't interested, he's not going to get maximum value because the Bears aren't interested. He's going to get maximum value
because he's one of the best
in college football.
But now he could be swayed. If he's going to renegotiate a deal, you might as well start negotiating a pro deal too if he wants to coach here.
What's funny,
and that's the word, not in here, but in the NFL.
Which is interesting now to me. This is the dynamic. And all NFL coaches right now are probably licking their chops. Because I believe if this list is correct, there's only three guys that make $10 million or more. It's Belichick, It's Pete Carroll and it's Gruden, and now he's no longer with the Raiders. Sean Payton is just under $10 million a year. I think John Harbaugh is $9 million a year. They've gotten to the point now where the top NCAA coaches are being paid as much or more than the NFL coaches, which I would think would then raise the level of pay for an NFL head coach. I don't know what Matt Nagy is making, but you get into this market now of hiring a new coach, it's a new economics, financial
strategy. Did you guys hear Albert Breer on with Cap'n Jay Hood this morning talking about this same thing?
Yeah, I heard him. I didn't hear this specific answer.
Do you guys want to listen to it? Here it is. So this is basically on NFL teams looking for their next head coach and how the college landscape is going to affect that as we enter in for NFL teams looking for the next guy.
Yeah, I just, you know, what I'm going to be working on is kind of, you know, how the college, you know, coaching carousel. And I know there are a lot of Notre Dame people up there, right, like who've been following this pretty closely over the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Has kicked into overdrive and what it's going to mean for the NFL. And, you know, I really think there could be a reckoning when it comes to coaching salaries at the NFL level. And, you know, there are, I believe at this point, 9 coaches who make $10 million or more. And I know that there are a lot of questions, like, why is that the way it is? When you look at what players make and the value of a good head coach in the NFL, and now with the new television deals, you know, you sort of wonder, is there going to be some sort of disruptor coming? And, you know, maybe it is. And I look, like, I think what happened in college, guys, and this is what's so interesting about it, right? What happened in college is instead of, you know, USC and LSU going and getting the young riser, they just went and raided somebody else's coach. You know what I mean? So, like, you guys remember that, like, way back in the day, right? Like, when Bill Parcells got stolen from the Patriots by the Jets, and when John Gruden got stolen from the Raiders by the Buccaneers, right? Like, I would not be surprised if maybe something like that, like, at least somebody attempts to do that, because it sort of feels like, you know, you see what's happening in the college game. Does that give an owner an idea? And, you know, and on top of that, you see a pipeline that's sort of run a little dry when it comes to obvious candidates, at least. And so, you know, I think it's something for you guys to watch. Definitely, there's going to be a change there where, you know, maybe one of the teams that's involved when we get to January, rather than just going and getting a hot young coordinator, goes and sees someone else's head coach and says, maybe if we give him more control, maybe if we give him a huge salary, maybe if we throw this other team some draft picks, we can pry our guy from somewhere else.
It's a great point.
It is interesting.
And like a guy like Sean Payton, I've heard from many Bears fans, can you entice Sean Payton to want out? Now, he could get Russell Wilson and game on again in New Orleans, because Russell Wilson's member could be out and he put New Orleans on his list.
Yeah, and them getting that dissolution of their marriage is easier this year than it was last year contractually. The article I was looking at earlier was from March. This one is from, it's more in line with what Albert is saying. This one is from November. But there are, it says here that Belichick makes $18 million a year. Pete Carroll, 14. Sean Payton, 14. Andy Reid, 12. Yeah, I mean, if you're the next Bears hire, like Matt Rule got $8.5 million to start coaching Carolina.
That's what I'm saying. So when he's making four, Ryan Day or whoever it is, you want to entice Josh McDaniels to finally leave the Patriots and take a job and to be good, pay him.
It's going to cost $10 million a year.
But who the hell cares, because it doesn't go against the salary cap.
Right.
The Bears are given how much money from the TV contract?
$320 million a year.
To start the day.
Yeah.
So don't cry to me that, oh, a coach is, like, they didn't want, they could have gotten Nick Saban. Jerry Angelo didn't want to pay the freight because Ted Phillips didn't want to pay the freight. There are no excuses. You go get the best guy out there to lead your team at president, at general manager, and you should overpay because it doesn't hurt your cap 1 ounce.
Well, not just that, but like back in the day, the value of your franchise was X. 7 years later, the value of your franchise is, you know, significantly higher.
They're paying Nick Foles $7 million to sit on the bench and do nothing. You can pay your coach $15 million and nothing changes with the value of your team.
Yeah, I mean, look, if they decide to make a hire based on money, they'll get it. I mean,
I hope so.
But
I hope so.
No, my point is if they make a decision that is financially inspired, they're going to receive a hell of a lot of criticism for it. There's no excuse for them to not pay whatever is necessary to find their coach.
All right, baseball, football, on the brain, 332-3776. All your calls coming up.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie. Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
I want to read you a tweet. I responded to it on Twitter as well. I got Jeff Chisholm tweeted. Shout out to Andy's Jazz Club. He says, shame on you for loving this Cubs team with your eyes closed. I saw this coming a mile away and why I passed on season tickets. Waited 8 years, but won't pay for this dumpster fire. Hashtag dumpster fire, hashtag rebuild. I get it. I don't blame any Cubs fan for feeling that. What I tweeted back was, Tom Ricketts has become a target right now. And I get that too. But he still, for now, not forever, for now, gets the benefit of the doubt for me after what they did from 15 to 20. They gave me the golden era of baseball from 15 to 20. A lot of great years. Always contending, being in the World Series conversation, winning one. Winning one is tough. You're finding that out on the other side of town. Winning a postseason series is tough. You're finding that on the other side of town. So in 2022, I'm not going to go after, I will at times, but I won't say Ricketts is terrible. Because, and someone tweeted me, no, Theo did this, Sylvie. Ricketts didn't do it. Ricketts didn't have to fire Theo. Mm-hmm. Ricketts went to Boston and took him away from the Red Sox. Ricketts didn't spare any expense in bringing over Jed with him, too, and saying, here's your blank canvas, redesign our entire front office, we're going to rebuild Wrigley Field and keep it here, we're going to build the place in the Dominican, we're going to rebuild spring training. And I get it, there was a lot of money to be made for Tom Ricketts, but this was equally good for everybody. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want him to continue to cry poor. I was mad at him for saying biblical losses in the wake of all those years of making money. But I am not going to go after him and call this a dumpster fire a year after they were competing for a championship.
Look, if you go through 2-3 more years of this, I think that the story changes. But right now, I understand why you're willing to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's got one foot in the bucket right now.
Yeah, yep.
But he's got a chance to get his foot out of that bucket and kind of redirect how you feel about him.
Like the Bears, year in and year out, they've never gave us sustained success. Ever. Tom Ricketts just gave you 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years of contention in a row with the championship. So, like, let's remember what the Bears are doing in this town and some others before we start, like, yelling that Tom Ricketts is a bad owner a year and a half after they were supposed to compete for a championship in 2020.
Let me ask you a question, and not you, but all Cubs fans. Would you rather have this team with the opportunity to kind of rebuild them now? What did I say earlier? They had like $50 million in salary commitments at this point. Or would you have re-signed all the guys that you loved, that helped take you to the top of the mountain, and be stuck with those contracts when their performance is going to be diminishing over the course of time, more than likely?
I brought up 2020 for a reason, because the Marlins came to town and beat the Cubs twice. Remember that?
Yes.
With all those names.
Yep.
And the year before that, the Cubs didn't make the playoffs. And the year before that, the Cubs lost in game 163 to the Brewers for the division.
You gave them the opportunity.
And then lost to the Rockies in the wild card game with those same players.
Yeah. So they gave them the opportunity. The ownership gave them the opportunity to kind of recreate that magic with that same nucleus. Now it's their job to pivot and create another winning environment now.
Yeah.
And don't spare any expense for it.
Look, I will hold them accountable, but I think we're jumping from point A to point Z with this ownership group.
That's what we do.
Very quickly.
We careened from one guardrail. No, I know, just in life in general. We careened from one guardrail to the next instead of just keeping it 55 down the middle. middle lane.
Sean in Orland, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Sean.
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
We're good.
I just wanted to talk a little Cubs. You guys are going through the lineup there. Don't forget about Brennan Davis, who almost certainly will be starting in center
sometime next year. He's coming up. He was their minor league player of the year, and he's looking like he's got all the tools, but he's still not on the major league roster yet. We were talking about the major league roster.
I do. I would be a little upset if they're not active this offseason. There's several impact players that have already come off the board, but there's still some really good guys left. And I felt with the guys left, Marcus Stroman to pair with Kyle Hendricks should be the target. They really need another good starting pitcher.
Yep.
And then Nick Castellanos. I mean, Jason Hayward is not really a starting caliber guy anymore, a defensive replacement at this point. So you have an opening in right field. I think those two guys, and then maybe a shortstop. I mean, we have Nico, but if you can get the right deal for Story or Correa, possibly. And then if you look at, like, next year's free agent class, it's bare bones. So I do think that if they're trying to get this going quicker and not a full lengthy rebuild, you got to make moves now.
Sean, good stuff. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
I love Castellanos as a player, but you're not signing him to $20 million a year on the north side.
And
now,
it sounds like he's looking for 7-8 year deal.
Yeah, and he's going to want to go somewhere where he can win now, I would think, as well.
You missed the opportunity with him 2 years ago. Yes. That's what you did. You made a big mistake.
Yep.
Paul and Tinley, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, Waddle Sylvie. Nice to hear you guys. Love you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, totally a Southside Cubs fan. And has been gotten used to all the winning, but I think Waddle, you said it was time to pivot. It was time to press that reset button. So I'm cautiously optimistic to see, what Jeb does. Hoping to see a few more movements this offseason, but cautiously optimistic. But I'm more excited. I got a daughter who plays softball at Augustana College, so I'm way more excited about the college softball season.
Yeah,
right now,
I don't blame you.
The Cubs.
What's her slash line? Give me her slash line.
Oh, gosh, I don't have numbers, but she's a freshman, center fielder, shortstop. So looking forward to seeing if she can get on the field and get some time.
That's awesome.
Paul, I would suggest to you whether or not the Cubs were competing for something or nothing, you should still be more interested in your daughter's softball team.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah.
Awesome, Paul. Best of luck to you and her, all right?
Thank you, sir.
There you go. There's Paul. Our buddy Dre in Denver. Dre, you're on ESPN 1000. You at the airport?
Hey, yeah, I'm at work, but I'm good. I'm good. I've been waiting on this call.
Do they know? Hey, Dre, does the airport operations know that you make calls to us while you're on duty?
We have a lot of downtime at the airport. Okay. You know, we got banks that come in, and as long as we do our job, they don't bother.
Dre, can I ask you a question? I've flown into a lot of different airports. First of all, the stallion with red eyes scares the crap out of me. And then the indoor...
That is weird, Tommy. Try driving home at night or coming in at night. Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot of talk about how that whole thing is, like, there are some, weird meanings to how it was all put together and some of the artwork inside and how there's stuff underneath. Are you buying any of that witchcraft that people are talking about the Denver airport?
I didn't think it was true. I mean, well, the 9/11 happened before I heard about all these rumors about this airport. But when the president was flying around, he was close to Colorado,
Yeah.
I do think it's something going on here in the Mile High, because it's a lot of space and a lot of things to build stuff like that. A lot of where our altitude is high, things like that. But it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it's to that level, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. Let me ask you one more airport question. Why do the pilots need the lights and the direction to get into the gate? Could they not do that on their own if those guys weren't there?
No. So what you have is a J line, right? The pilots come in on the J line to the gate. And the gate, so they have wing walkers. So you have trucks like me driving around, and they want to make sure that somebody's not on calling the Waddle and Sylvie show.
Yeah, exactly.
And talking on the radio. and run it through a plane. But no, it's all to guard these $100 million planes. That's all. And with the crews, they have to have three crews ready because they have to download the plane, get the bags, and get you guys off to where you need to go. So
bags could be a little quicker.
Drake could be the airport guy. How about that? Drake, airport travel. Call me, holiday travel. I'll give you the heads up.
Getting busting your chest. All right, Trey, what do you got on the socks?
Hey, real quick before the Sox, the Bears' offense is closer to the Lions. Watching the game on Thursday, the Bears' offense is closer than the Lions and not closer to a competing NFL team. I mean, they're way off. Looking at that game on Thursday, I thought it was just an embarrassment, and the Lions basically gave it to us.
Yes.
And I think their coaching staff, everything is closer to the Lions than closer to an elite like Green Bay or somebody like that. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, we're not in the same conversation with the Green Bay Packers.
All right, now the White Sox. I believe Rick Hahn has done a fantastic job with rebuilding this team, and I think we got a lot of depth. But what scares me is before, and I don't know how much Jerry Reinsdorf is giving them the purse of the money, but I don't want him to do any knee-jerk trades like a Tatis for what was the starter we had?
Right.
Yeah. James Shields. Do you want to see him make smart strategic moves? I don't think we need a crazy contract guy. I think two trades can make us better if they can find out. I heard it's the second baseman out of Arizona.
And I know they've been in on him before, Trey. Thank you. We got to run. But that's the thing about trades. If it's free agent season, all you're doing is money.
Yeah.
And you're not giving up anybody. And you don't have to worry about giving up Tatis. So 332-3776. Waddle's World coming up. We've got some holiday parody songs that we got to play in Barstool Big Cat 30 minutes from right now.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird.
Welcome to Waddle's World. Come inside.
Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Weird. Get weird. Weird. Get weird. 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 Weird.
Let's get weird.
Why not? Waddle's World brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit Wintrust.com/findus, member FDIC. Speaking of weird, yesterday was kind of weird with regard to, weird's not the right word, but it felt weird listening to the Bears themed parody song entries one after the other. We did ask our fine listeners to send in some more creative, more diversified entries. Did we get any response, Chris?
Yeah, we did.
And Adam?
Yeah. Yeah, we have a whole bunch of songs. Are we doing this now? Let's do it.
They listened.
I'd like to hear one.
For the most part, they listened.
I'd like you to whet my whistle because with an entertaining one.
They're good, but there are so many Bears. Yeah. Fire Nagy.
It gets lost in the minutiae.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I would say,
I'm not here to pet anybody.
From our talk.
If your entry sucks, I'm going to let you know.
But I don't think a lot of those sucked. I just think you're tired. You're fatigued.
Yeah, I am fatigued.
That's right.
But despite my tiredness, I know a bad entry when I hear one. Sir.
So, like, from our talk yesterday, I think what you would have to do, if you're making another parody song about the Bears, it'd have to be a stellar song, right? Like, it's going to have to be one that really stands out.
Yes. You have to hit a home run. Absolutely.
Right. Like, because they're going to get lost in the shuffle.
I've heard some good Scottie Pippen ones. Oh, we've had a couple good Scottie Pippen ones.
Yeah, give me a Scottie Pippen one.
Well, how about one about Sylvie?
Okay. Oh,
and his...
Oh, no.
His body.
My body.
So Danny White and Doug Banks have submitted for years.
Is this we're pissed off, so we're going to focus on you?
Oh, yeah. Good old friends.
Yeah.
Danny and Doug.
This song is titled Sylvie's Boobs.
Yes.
How y'all doing, everybody? Oh, it's Christmas time. Y'all feeling good? People out there, let me hear your hands. We got a very busty, voluptuous woman in the front row.
Who, me?
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry, Mark. That's my boy Sylvie from ESPN 1000.
Oh, no.
How you doing, man? How's the family?
Oh.
This next one's for you, bub. He's taking a whiz, his reflection's in sight. He sees the jubilees, it gives him a fright. Sylvie's boobs are touching the ground. Sylvie's boobs are touching the ground. Sylvie's cans are flopping around. They drop to the floor when he's getting undressed. He's got two Christmas hams attached to his chest. Put down the pizza, get a salad instead. No. Before those puppies end up in a centerfold spread. Sylvie's boobs are touching the ground. Sylvie's boobs are touching the ground. Sylvie's jugs are bouncing around. CPAP mask when he's sleeping. Sweat stains when he's awake. He's got gynecomastia. He better invest in a shake weight.
Oh, it's burning my rhombus.
No more elliptical when you watch him get up. Just hit the bench press to flatten the pumps. Sylvie's boobs are touching the ground. Sylvie's boobs weigh 35 pounds.
Yes.
Looks like Dolly Parton's in town.
Up yours, Buster.
Oh, fantastic. You know what?
They're always fantastic.
I've been reinvigorated.
Right,
I'm back. Yes, I'm back. Well done.
Look, and then I like to wear these sweatshirts, too, that accentuate them. And I look in, like, the wife or radio partner thing, I look in the mirror and I freak myself out.
I don't think that's true.
No, it's true.
You are not in bad shape for a 50-year-old man. I would suggest you're in good shape.
Maybe everywhere else except the chest. The chest is different, though. And they are spot on with that.
I just am thrilled that it wasn't another formulaic Bears entry. That one right there renewed my faith in this competition.
You want to hear another
Yesterday,
one?
Yesterday, I was not only fatigued, I was disappointed. As I think I described in our pre-show video, it was a collection.
I thought
of some poo.
Bring it on. I'm here for it.
Like, I know Doug and who's the other guy? Doug and
Danny.
Doug and Danny, they're pissed at us because they haven't won the grand prize yet.
Right, right.
They've won once, and they're in the top five every year.
I think it's unnecessary
they make good songs.
And anger from their behalf.
They're the Scottie Pippen of this contest.
God. Great call. Wow. Great call.
And they're a fantastic player, a top 50 overall player in the history of the game.
I can't wait for them to write a book all the time.
Yeah.
F. Sylvie, I did everything. F. those two dudes that made the song about the Bears last year. It's going to be great.
I will say, last year sunk for them.
I thought it was good. I liked Shriveled St. Nick.
I was going to say, Sylvie, is like the thing about last year is I think that wins in a normal year, but the song that eventually won was like an all-time great.
Sylvie was
great.
Right. It was the one that won was basically like a show tune. It was
but Troubled St. Nick was incredible. That was a really good song last year.
I would advise the guys to write one about all of us and get your frustration out. Write one about all of us. Sylvie's is already done. Get one going for all of us. What else do you have, Chris?
David Lopez in AK We Trust.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly recorded yesterday.
Hey, Bitowski on the beat. Nagy getting fired, but who we gonna hire? If Pace doing that feels, might as well retire. Come on, man, they said no more Bears talk. Jingle bells, whoa, this ain't crosstalk, no, you can't be saying that. But if I bleep it out, Waddle gon' like the track. Let me tell you about this new idea that I got. Carnissive is the GM for the Bears, worth a shot. Lonzo to Levine for the Hail Mary. We finally got a team, good enough for TNT. If AK ran the Bears, Peyton and Eli would be eating, talking, farting all up on your TV. Hey, I just
girls run a team that can score 30. Sports center top 10 every single week. Making sick plays, yo, the play's dirty. Kinda like the boxes of the boy Sylvie.
I gambled and I lost. I gambled and I lost.
I like it.
It's okay. Yeah.
I like it.
Very creative.
Very creative.
Yes.
Well done. And it was different than what we had yesterday.
Yes.
How? Speaking of show reference.
Speaking about gambling and losing, one of the places that I gambled and lost before I was attending this outing, I will be back making my triumphant return to the Howard Street Inn with Waddle on Friday. Make sure you catch the show, Miller Time, the Howard Street Inn. The last time I was there on the ride to the Howard Street Inn, I gambled and I lost. So we will try to do better
Please
this time.
Bring your adult diapers and hand them to Sylvie. I want him walking out of that place with just boxes of adult diapers. Please do this.
Oh, you know what? Somebody's going to bring you
Please
some
do this.
Meantime, Rod tweets and he says, does Allie motorboat you?
All right, we should probably go to break now.
No, I want you to answer it. Do you have one more for us?
Speaking of Allie.
This is interesting. Abdallah wants me to play this.
Here's the deal. It's a good song.
I don't think we should continue to play songs that are not holiday songs because then people continue to send us songs that are not holiday songs and
they just need to know they can't win.
Well, we talked about this with Carmen and Yurko. Do You Want to Build a Snowman is
it's not a holiday song. It's not a holiday song.
But this song is very funny.
It's a winter
song.
If
it's entertaining, let's play it.
This is very funny. We'll play it once, but it is not a holiday song, Jason.
So I can't win.
Jason Holsworth.
He's a great
aunt. Yeah, he's got a bunch here. Yeah. Do you want to see a Bulls game?
Hey, Allie. Do you want to see a Bulls game? Oh, you're just taking the kids. Guess I'll have some alone time on Valentine's. Where's my lotion? I just want to cheer for my team. And slap the floor, but now I'll stay home and cry. Do you want to see a Bulls game? Doesn't have to be a Bulls game.
Go away, Sylvie.
Okay, bye.
It's very good, but Frozen's not a holiday
movie. To the point.
Yeah.
But you're right. Frozen is not a holiday song.
It's a winter movie.
I would accept it, but you guys don't.
Technically, we cannot. We're giving away a grand, man.
They got to follow the rules.
Yeah, follow the rules.
All right.
Can I give a shout out to that song? Because it's 40 seconds. I like that.
Yeah, short and to
good.
The point.
I like that.
How long were the guys that hate us? How long was that one?
5 minutes.
Seemed like it lasted forever. My boobs.
All right. When we come back, maybe another story. And I have an update on a story from yesterday, and I do have the nuttiest story of the day. That's next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Woo! People are already singing to the catchy new holiday parody song entry.
Yeah, shout out to Patrick Boyle, not Pat Boyle. Patrick Boyle in the car, I believe, with Dad, and he's already singing.
Unless he just took the car for a spin on his own.
Pat said, my son is already singing, Sylvie's boobs are touching the ground. They tweeted, too. Doug tweeted at me.
Said, did he?
The title of the song is Sylvie's Boobs Are Touching the Ground. Glad you guys had a laugh. Thank you and enjoy your nights.
So much space in our labeling system. I can't be writing Sylvie's Boobs Are Touching the Ground and be able to see it on the entire screen.
Should we tell them that they're still probably not the leader in the clubhouse?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, you guys. Congrats on coming in third.
Doug, here's a news flash. You're not going to win.
Wow. That's
nice
rough.
Nice try. Scotty.
Horace.
How's that bitterness?
Just call him Tony. Kukoc. You're not third and fourth.
That's good. It was so refreshing to hear. A different topic. We have a bunch more to play later in the show, right, Chris? Oh, that's good stuff.
Yeah, we have a few.
By the way, Waddle's World update for you. Remember I told you yesterday about the Oasis cover band that was playing a gig on Friday, and then 3 days later they were still playing because of a snowstorm. in Yorkshire, England. They've all been relieved of their being
duties.
Yeah, they've all been.
They're no longer a band.
They broke up just like the real Oasis.
Yes, they were finally able to leave last night.
Oh, I thought it was the one they had to eat one of them.
What?
They were trapped inside.
That's
days.
How those stories
but
end.
They had food. Only I mean, 3 days. They were days. Trapped in a cave.
They decided to eat.
They
Noel.
Were in a bar. I'm they sure ate, they had food and beverage.
They ate the Noel impersonator.
Oh no!
Well, they have fish and chips.
Not sure what they had.
No, what is it? It's isn't it called?
Did
can
you
I
guys
say
know?
It? What it's called? The English?
Nope.
Why?
I don't know. They, what's it called?
It's a food. It's what Meller always says. It's spotted dick.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Did Why you can't guys you say know? That? It's food.
Yeah,
yeah. I support you. Listen, don't let the guys, you know, the hall monitors in there. They determine when they want to say that
a
word.
We just played a song called Sylvie's Boobs.
I get it. I know.
No, Sylvie's boobs are touching the ground.
Yeah.
Did you guys know
boobs
that chips
are French fries?
Actually, French fries.
Yes. Yeah.
How about that? Yeah.
Well, there used to be before you guys were born.
Wacky English.
Yeah.
There used to be a.
What are the fish?
Huh? Steak.
When you guys weren't even on this planet, there used to be a restaurant in the Chicago area called Arthur's Treacher's Fish and Chips.
Really?
Yes. And it was a big place in Chicago where you would get the fish with fries.
I'm not going to lie to you. When I was a kid, like every now and again, if we were good, Mom and Dad would swing us by Long John Silver's.
Right. Those were big, too. But Arthur Treacher's back in the day when I was a kid.
That's high-end. That's high-end fish and chips, no?
You guys ever go to one of those Long John Silver's? Yeah. Taco Bell, Long John Silver's all in one place?
Taco John's?
Yeah, Taco John.
You ever go to the combos?
Yeah, the combos.
No, usually it's like Taco Bell and Kentucky Fried Chicken,
yeah.
isn't it?
Or Pizza Hut, yeah.
Yeah.
Taco Hut.
But every once in a while, you see the one that's like a KFC Long John Silver.
You're drunk and you're a passenger, of course. You're not driving the vehicle, but you go through both.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I like it. Are there Long John Silver's still around?
I haven't seen one in a while, if they are.
I used to love it.
Yeah,
I don't know
they used to. What was the for the seafood lover in you?
Yeah, you
was
got
that
the song,
Long John
yeah.
Silver's?
Long John Silver's, yes. For the seafood lover in you. Yeah. Look at you. Okay, time for the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
Buckle in. This one is kind of like, yes. A woman lights gaming machine on fire after losing, then shot by fellow gamer who couldn't play it anymore.
Ooh,
Houston Police Department
this
has
is a whole thing.
Yeah, a woman was injured during a shooting in Northeast Houston Tuesday afternoon, according to Houston Police. Officers responded, I guess that's today or maybe it was last Tuesday. Officers responded to reports of a shooting located in the 4700 block of Rand Street around 2:30 p.m. According to the Houston Police Department, two women were using a gaming machine at the location when a woman got mad because she was losing and started pouring lighter fluid on the machine. Well, when the machine caught fire, a second woman got mad because she couldn't play the machine any longer. Police say both women ended up arguing in the parking lot. The woman who started the fire was shot.
That's incredible. By the way, I see these calls ringing too. It's Red Lobster for the seafood lovers.
Oh, okay.
Why they're calling. I bet that's why they're calling.
Red Lobster for the seafood lovers.
Yeah, not Long John Silver.
Long John Silver. What was the Long John Silver jingle?
Why don't you have some of my Long John Silver?
I don't think that was it.
No, I'm now getting all the calls of where there are Long John Silvers in the Chicago area.
Oh, are there?
Yeah, oh yeah. There's one on Fullerton,
there's
apparently.
There's lots of them.
Really?
I didn't know they were still around.
I'm going to pick some up.
Are you really?
Nope.
Yeah. No, probably not.
No, you're not.
You can stop by Red Lobster for me if you want.
I used to love Red Lobster.
Again, like the things that we were...
In college, if you had money to go to Red Lobster...
How in the hell did you have money for Red Lobster in college?
Well, I mean, you'd have to save. I mean, but one of those...
Ground round, that's where we... like. Yeah,
they had ground rounds up here. There was one in Niles.
You could get wings for like 10 cents a piece on Mondays.
Throw the peanut shells on the ground.
Peanut shells,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Matt Nagy threw something else on the ground.
His dignity. What?
His visor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I'm telling you, when you were good... You would get a trip to the Long John Silver's drive-thru, or if it was a weekend and it was family night, Pizza Hut with the all-you-could-eat salad bar.
Oh, that was so good.
One pizza for the family, but everyone, we could demolish a salad bar as a family of four.
My Pizza Hut of choice was the one on Dempster in Morton Grove Niles, right there. right memories. By the Sport Mart.
Memories.
We're no, Pizza Hut still gets it done, by
it
the way.
It does.
Do they still have that? Well, I don't think there are many salad bars left with pandemic. Yeah.
Well, Waddle, me, and Abdallah both had Pizza Hut together in the Miami airport. It was the only thing left open after the Super Bowl.
That's a win.
When we were coming back. And we ordered 8 personal pan pizzas.
That's a win.
Yeah. It was delicious.
You guys ever play the game when you're driving around and you're like, oh, that's a Pizza Hut in disguise? It's really an insurance office now, but it was an old Pizza Hut.
I agree with that.
You ever play that game?
It's fantastic. Where it's you awesome. Could see the awning and it was an old Pizza Hut.
This is not an insurance office. This is an old Pizza Hut.
In disguise.
Yeah, right, I like it.
Barstool Big Cat in 2 minutes, and we need your entries for Would You Rather. We've given you a lot of things to talk about. There's a lot of sports stories going around. Your best Would You Rather entries, hashtag it WS Would You Rather. Send them to us on Twitter to Abdallah and Bleck. You could win a gift card to Grand and Western Liquors. Again, we've got about a half hour. Tweet your entries right now. Barstool Big Cat in 2 minutes.